Will you put your music stand down? Will you put your music stand down all the way? We're trying our best to throw you a curveball this morning by switching up our order quite a bit. This is a special morning for us at Calvary as we're celebrating baptisms this morning. Just to give you a brief feel for the rest of the service, if you're in kids' club, stay here. Huh? That's nice. 4 to 8-year-olds get to hang out with us for the service. We will, when I'm finished, I'm going to give you a few brief words on baptism. We'll continue singing a couple more songs. And then we have 6 candidates for baptism this morning. After that, we'll sing a couple more songs. We'll pray, sing a couple more songs. And if I can be dry in time, I'll be back to benedict you. That's the goal. So we'll have to see how quick I am. At Calvary, we practice believer's baptism. For us, baptism is not merely a cultural experience. And neither is it considered a saving act. In fact, we would say that baptism is not necessary for salvation, but it's not optional either. It's being obedient to Jesus Christ. It's following his command and his example. We believe that baptism is an outward sign of an inward reality. That is, when you become a believer in Jesus Christ, you are spiritually baptized. And then when you go through a physical baptism that's representative of that. It's the opportunity to make a public proclamation of one's faith. In fact, there's a church I was close to in Memphis that referred to this as going public. And in that sense, it's similar to a wedding. In a wedding, you go public with your vows to one another. You make a statement to one another, to your families, to everyone, that you intend to be committed to one another. And baptism is very similar. It's a way that we make a public commitment to Jesus Christ. And this morning, we're going to have the opportunity to watch 6 people do that. So in preparation, I want us to look at one of a handful of important baptismal texts in the Bible. So if you would, let's open up Romans 6. We'll be on page 942 in your red pew Bible. By the way, if you don't own an ESV Bible, please consider taking it. It would be our gift to you. As Paul is encouraging the Romans, he works through this book. He starts off in chapter 1, basically saying God has made himself known. He's made himself known to everybody. As you get into chapter 2, you find that we all fall short. In fact, that gets nailed down in chapter 3. Every last one of us is a sinner. He makes it plain to find out that faith is the only way that we can find redemption. Faith was true even in the life of Abraham. And so when he gets to chapter 6, this idea of faith being salvific, faith in Jesus Christ being the only way that we can find peace with God, when you get to chapter 6, he says, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? This idea that having followed Jesus Christ, is it okay for us to continue in sin? Is it okay for us to continue to walk the way we've always walked and just have the caveat that Jesus forgives me? And what Paul would say is, by no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? So when he comes to Romans 6, chapter 3, and by the way, this won't be an exposition of Romans. It'll be a very poor exposition of Romans if it was. But it's a challenge for us to look at a baptismal text. This is what Paul tells the Romans. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? And this is part of the significance of baptism for us. The first thing you must notice is that all of us who have been baptized, it's this idea that baptism is not an individual event. It's actually a community event. Very similar to if you go to a wedding, you're reminded of your marital vows, that you'd be committed to one another. In a baptismal service, you're reminded of the gospel. You're reminded that if somebody is making a public commitment to Jesus Christ, you're reminded of your own public commitment to Jesus Christ. And of those same realities, that your sin separates you from God, and that there's nothing you can do about it, and that nothing outside of the grace of Jesus Christ would ever be enough. And this is true for all of us. So as Paul is writing, as all of us who have been baptized, he's writing to encourage them, he's writing to exhort them. that we were all baptized into his death. And that's the physical imagery of baptism. Here in a moment, we'll take six different people, and we will lay them into the water. It's this picture that as they're being laid back into the water, they'll be submerged into the water, that they're entering into death. It's that picture of Jesus Christ being died and laid into a tomb. You are laid into death. And it's a physical expression of a spiritual reality. This is why Paul would tell the Galatians, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. Because Paul lived in that reality that he was dead. His flesh was dead. And as Paul continues in verse 4, he says, we were buried therefore with him by baptism into death. We died with him, baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. And this is the second part of Galatians 2:20. But Christ lives in me. When you're raised out of the water, you're raised out of the water in a newness of life. It's that picture of the gospel transformation that happens in the lives of believers in Jesus Christ. We're raised back into new life. He continues in verse 5 by saying, if we've been united with him in his death like this, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like this. And it's a twofold picture. Paul wants you to see both the resurrection that happens when you're alive physically, how your spirit is rejuvenated, how you're made new, and ultimately a picture of a future resurrection. This is why he would write the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The idea of a brand new thing coming to existence. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. This is the third image you get out of Galatians 2:20. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. When we baptize folks, we ask them two questions. Have you come today to publicly proclaim your faith with Jesus Christ? Are you acknowledging the reality that his death is sufficient to cover all of your sin, and you want to publicly cling to him all of your days? And the second question comes out of this verse, the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God. And basically, it's this idea, the second question we ask baptismal candidates is, are you committed to the best of your ability, trusting and relying on Jesus Christ to follow him all the days of your life? Now, we totally and fully get that having been baptized, you're still going to struggle with sin. Because I'm guessing there's not a single one here that doesn't struggle with it. Amen? I'm getting more Baptist the longer I'm here. You're still struggle with it. But Paul wants you to see this picture in 6, verse 6. We know that our old self, our pre-Christ self, was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we'd no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. You've been set free from the slavery of sin. That's what it means to follow Jesus in essence. That's what part of what sanctification looks like. No longer is slave your master. So as you walk into temptation, the only option is not just to give in. The option is to claim Jesus Christ and walk forward in victory because you're no longer a slave to it any longer. And then he completes the picture in verse 8, 9, and 10, 11. Now, if we who have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. That's the resurrected picture. That we who claim Jesus Christ believe that we will also live with him. That's a picture that as you follow Jesus tomorrow, he's with you everywhere you go. And ultimately, there'll be a day when you experience physical death and you'll be resurrected to walk with him everywhere you go. Verse 9, we know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once and for all. That means you don't have to pay for it. That means you can't pay for it. For the death he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God. So Paul brings that to full fruition for you. He brings it to application for you so that you might appreciate both Christ's death and resurrection, wondering what that would say to you, Romans 6:11. So you must also consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Baptism for us is the physical sign of a spiritual reality. It's the gospel in three dimensions. It's our chance to watch somebody die and be renewed. And if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, this ought to be edifying to our body. It ought to be encouraging to us, and it ought to exhort us in the gospel. And this morning, if you are being baptized, we as a church celebrate with you the gospel in your life, that you have died to the flesh and that you have been made new in Jesus Christ. Let me pray for us. We're going to sing a couple more songs and then we're going to baptize some folks. Let me pray. Jesus, we stand here as a people who fall short of your glory. Our sin has separated us from you. And in our flesh, there's nothing we could do to make up for that. And in fact, in our flesh, we'll only continue to fall short. And yet the gospel says to us that God initiated on our behalf that while we were still sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Jesus Christ died in our place and for us so that we could be redeemed. Father, when we give ourselves to Jesus, when we trust him, we go through this spiritual renewal. This morning we see it as a physical sign. Father, I pray for us as a church that we'd be edified, encouraged, and exhorted. And I pray for these baptismal candidates that this would be a special time for them where they publicly have a chance to align themselves with Jesus Christ. Thank you so much, God, for your grace, for how you've loved us, and how you've made good of our sin. Thank you for this redemption, and thank you for the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.